Well, good evening and welcome. This is Chris Robinson. I want to welcome you to tonight's call as we continue to talk about these 15 laws of growth, 15 valuable laws of growth. It is October 11, 2017, and I want to welcome you here to the call. You know, over the past couple of weeks, we've taken a chapter from the 15 laws of growth and discussed it each week. Deb started out the first week. I came in second. And last week we did one together, and this week we're going to close out this four-week study with the law of environment. You know, one of the key things that we've been talking about throughout this time is how this is content that we've been able to utilize as John Maxwell coaches, speakers, and trainers, that we've been able to utilize with groups, companies, organizations, that we've been able to use this curriculum in order to help transform and change lives in the capacity as a coach, speaker, trainer. Now, remember, if you are or want to know anything about the John Maxwell team and getting certified on how you can utilize this content, be sure to go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws to learn more about the $1,000 scholarship that's available. So you want to make sure that you check that out. For those of you that are just joining us for the first time, my name is Chris Robinson. I am a full-time coach, speaker, and trainer with the John Maxwell team, as well as one of the teaching faculty members who trains on sales and business building. So I was able to utilize the program in order to build a business of coaching, speaking, and training full-time for a living with what they have inside the box or online platform of John Maxwell team. And so I have been delighted to do these last, you know, couple weeks with you guys and doing the previous mastermind group, and excited to be here on the line with Deb here tonight. So, Deb, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Chris. I can't believe how many weeks have flown by. It goes very fast, but tonight's call is a special one because I know that you and I have organized our schedules that we will stay on till the very last caller is served. So If folks are listening in, when Chris opens up the lines for Q&A, feedback, comments, questions, you just press *6 and we are here to serve you.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to that. And tonight we're going to be talking about the law of environment. And so, Deb, let's go ahead and jump into it. And let's talk about growth. Let's talk about environments.
Oh, I love it. You know, it's funny, Chris, when I think of the law of environment, you know, John's tagline for this chapter is that growth thrives in conducive surroundings, right? And And I remember really distinctly certain milestones in my life when I was in less than conducive surroundings. You know, I'm the oldest of seven kids, grew up in a two-bedroom apartment in the Bronx, New York. We were in less than conducive surroundings. I mean, there was no amount of bathroom scheduling that was going to make that easy. But you know, it's interesting. In those times, there were certain choices. There were certain paths that I decided to take or not take. And surrounding myself with people that weren't where I was, but where I wanted to be, really was an important aspect of my growth very early on. And now that I look in my sort of growth since meeting up with John and the John Maxwell team, how important that environment has really been to my personal growth, my professional growth, my business growth. It's really affected everything. And I know that, you know, most of us hit this time when we know it really is time for a change. And maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't, but for me, it happened around the age of 50. So around the age of 50, I, you know, realized that I was hitting one of those milestone years. You know what I mean, Chris? the world has like special decorations for certain ages. And I started to rethink, like, you know what, if I've hit at least half of my life already, I'm an optimist, so I'm thinking it's at least half. Mm-hmm. If I've hit at least half of my life, what do I want the next half of my life to be? And that for me was one of those moments where I knew it was time for a change. I had been in a traditional corporate career for many years, for 30 years at that point, 23 years with the same company, actually. And I had always aspired to be an entrepreneur, And I thought, you know what, this, if I'm ever going to do it, I'm already 50, like how many more years am I going to wait for this to happen? And I started to actively look for material contacts, information, groups, like who can I kind of hang out with who's where I wanted to be? Have you ever kind of been in that spot, Chris, where you knew it was time for change, but it took some time to kind of get there?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, one of those times it was just out of college, and I say just out of college not because I graduated, because they asked me to leave, and so you know not because I graduated, because they asked me to leave a couple times, and so you know I was at a point where, hey, I need to do something different. I need to be around some different people, because up until that point in time I had, you know, it was debating, you know, is school for me or not for me? You know, is that a path that I want to follow down? I really didn't see, you know, couldn't see where I was going. So I was hanging around people, doing wrong things. I was, 20 years old. And, you know, I was really, you know, there for a party lifestyle. I played sports. And so that really kind of got me a pass to kind of do, you know, kind of miss class and things of that nature, per se. And, you know, I wasn't there for what I needed to be there for. And, you know, throughout that entire high school and that college experience, the time that I did have there, you know, I was around people that were just going in the wrong direction. And I remember about a year removed from school, I had was working at this golf course and was dating my wife at the time. And, you know, and I was a licensed stockbroker, and I was trying to head in the right direction, but I remember being inside this party, you know, at this golf course, because I worked part-time in the golf course, and I remember being there, and my wife asked me one of the most powerful questions, girlfriend at the time, you know, and I was drinking heavily at that time. I remember she asked me this question. She said, Chris, she said, can you imagine your life without alcohol in it?
Mm.
And for a split second, I had like this moment of clarity. I can see the actual, you know, room that we were in at that moment. And I had this split second of clarity, as unsober as I was at that moment. Everything just became crystal clear, and I got a glimpse. You know, it was at that point in time that I knew I needed to remove myself from, you know, drinking, period, and then also around people that did the same at that time. And that's what allowed for me to create a space for growth, was remove myself from people that were in those environments. You know, that was my environment, was an environment with alcohol every single chance. You know, I didn't know anything else. And after removing myself from that, I mean, it's been over, I guess, over 16 years now since I've had a single drop of alcohol. And,
awesome.
And I can say that change, that choice, but then also that change of environment made all the difference in the world for me, because I was either going to be one of two places, dead or in jail.
Mm. Which came first for you? Was it the choice or the environment?
It was a choice.
Yep.
I mean, because,
yep,
you know, you got to choose. I mean, and that's hard. That was probably one of the hardest things in my life, because everybody that I knew, you know, drank, smoked cigarettes, did something. You know, it just wasn't good for
me. Man, you hung out with the good crowd. I was in the crowd that was doing everything else that was really bad.
Right. You know, and so I didn't know anybody that just didn't do anything. And
so, you know,
I was fortunate because, you know, my wife, she's, you know, we were able to separate together. And so we had each other, and that gave us the space. But literally for about a 2-year period, we didn't hang out with anybody.
Yep.
And we didn't hang out because I didn't need to be exposed, didn't want to be exposed to anything or any of that. And it took us quite a while to find some people. You know, that's when I found a church, and we found some other things. And even when we got to the church, you know, it was like, okay, who do we find now? Because we're these broken people. You know what I mean? And didn't realize everybody else around us was broken too. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, it was a choice, and then the environment.
Mm, that's so good. Chris, tell us a little bit about, if you would, I know John outlines really beautifully in the chapter that there really are six choices that position us for growth. Maybe would you mind kind of starting us off on those?
Yeah. Let me grab the first two here. The first one that he talks about, you know, if you want to make a choice, there's six choices to position yourself for growth. There's six of them. So if you want to position yourself for growth, and we're talking about environment, these are the six things that you need to do. The first thing is assess your current environments. Environments with an S. Because we have different environments that we're inside of. We have a work environment that where we're just our cubicles around us or office space, whatever the case may be. But then you also have other environments inside of your office place. So you might have the smoking section. You might have the break room. You know, you might need to change some of those environments. It may be the same, you know, restaurant that you go to for lunch, you know, that's not conducive to your growth. But you have to assess your current environment. You have to take a look at where you spend your time outside of work. You know, is that environment conducive to your growth? What's your home life like? Is that conducive to your growth? Are you arranging that? But you need to assess your current environments. So one of the things that I do in order to assess environments is I'm pretty selective in the environments that I place myself in, as well as people, because people also create our environment. So one of the things I do at the end of the year, it's coming up here soon, but one of the things I do is I actually document every single person, place, or event that I attend in a single year. I document that. And then what I do is, and how I document that is I just simply go through my calendar. I just simply go through my calendar because I just run and drive off the calendar. But then what I do is I color code. So I go through the entire year, and I'm color coding people, places, events. Now, the first color that you'll see is green. What I color code green is this was a person, place, or event where I felt energized. I felt like, man, I was motivated. Something good happened when I was inside this people, place, or event. And I'm looking for all the greens. How can I repeat those next year? How can I be around more greens in my life in people, places, and events? Now, the second color is yellow. And the yellow is, well, nothing good happened, nothing bad happened. And so what happens is these are color-coded yellow. I'm not going to pursue these people, places, or events, but I'm not going to block them, okay, because there was no harm. There was no drag in there. And then, of course, now we got our reds, all right? Mm-hmm. Reds are those people, places, events where you felt drained afterwards. It was a negative situation or something. Yeah, you know what a red is, and some of you guys are thinking, yeah, I got some reds in my life.
Yep.
And so what I do with that is now I'm trying to go into the next year and saying, okay, how can I stack my calendar with more greens? Who do I need to be intentional about spending time with that's a green on my list? What events do I need to go to that are a green on my list? What places do I need to go where I felt energized and was just a great place of solace for me? And so you need to assess your current environments, and those environments consist of people, places, and events. So the first thing you need to do is assess your current environments. So the second thing that you can do is change yourself and your environment. Change yourself and your environment, okay? Because here's the thing. If you change your environment but you don't change yourself, you're going to stay the same. But if you're trying to change yourself and not change your environment, you're going to stay the same. You have to change yourself. Who is it that you want to become? Begin going that direction, but then you have to change your environment in order for you to become that person. So it's like you can't have this walnut seed, right, and place it on a table and expect that walnut to grow into an oak tree, okay? It's just not going to happen. Why? It's in the wrong environment. It's in the wrong environment. And so you can do all the change that you want, but if you don't get activated by the environment, a lot is going to stay the same, and it's going to be very hard to get there. So the first two is, number one, assess your current environment. Number two, change yourself and your environment. And number three, I'll give this one. I'm going to turn it over to Dev, and I talked about it briefly in number one. change who you spend time with. Change who you spend time with. This is so important. Because, look, everything that you've done in your life has been associated with people. If you think about the very best times in your life, you can associate faces. If you think about the very worst times in your life, you can associate faces. And what I know by watching biography after biography, reading biography after biography, there's always a person that helps another one get to the next level.
Mm.
But it's by them placing themselves in an environment to be around those others. I mean, if you look at almost any documentary, you're going to find out what I'm looking for when I look at a documentary, Deb, I look for this. Who's the person that enters their life? Who's the person?
Yeah.
I'm always looking for who's the person. And you'll realize that there's always the person. When you look at Danny DeVito, Mike Nicholson, and then when I was just watching one on Michael Jr., a comedian, there was George Wallace, but then for George Wallace, who was there? There was Jerry Seinfeld, you know. There's a tie there. You know, for Matt Damon, Matt Damon. And then there was Ben Affleck. Well, these were guys that were growing together. They're coming up together.
Yeah.
All right? There's always this tie. Why? Because they jump into environments where people are going the direction that they want to go. So you have to change the people. The people and who you're spending time with is going to be a critical key in order for you to change your environment. All right, but it depends on your choices. So, Deb, talk to us about the last three.
Well, yeah, you know, first of all, on changing who you spend time with, I just want to add a little bit to that, Chris, if I could.
Yeah.
That was the most difficult decision for me because I didn't realize that there were people that I could love, but I could love them better from afar.
Mm.
That there were people that truly, they're family. I mean, these are people that I love. I will do anything for even today. But when it came to my business and my growth as a leader, they hadn't been where I wanted to go. So they couldn't really speak into my life in that way. And that I'm going to tell you that, as an Italian family-oriented chick from New York, that was a tough pill to swallow.
Right.
But once I did, I started to see a change. And, you know, for those of you who are listening in, you know, maybe you're kind of where Chris has been or I've been, and you're thinking, you know what, it really is time for a change. I want more. I want to become more. I want to serve more. I want to do more. You know, that's why becoming certified and delivering the very material we're talking about is so impactful, because it's not just about, you know, what we can do individually. It's about what the collective team can do across the globe. And for those of you who are listening in, boy, I just want to encourage you to go ahead to johnmaxwellteam.com/1515laws and learn more about even our $1,000 scholarship offer that we have. I mean, this is a pretty cool gig.
So
let me take us through the last three, because these are important. The next one John talks about is to challenge yourself in this new environment. This is one of those aha moments for me where I almost felt a change happening, where it wasn't just putting myself in a new environment, it was growing myself through my new environment. That there were people, you know, when I joined the John Maxwell team, I learned from people like you, from Paul Martinelli, from John Maxwell, from Mark Cole, from Christian Simpson and Roddy Galbraith. There were so many folks that I was learning through that I needed to get better at gleaning the lessons. So what John talks about is really, as I thought back on it, Chris, this is what I did, but maybe not on a conscious level, because I wasn't that smart back then, but I first of all looked at what could I learn from each individual through their strengths. So when I think of you, Chris, I mean, you are a rock star at sales and prospecting and helping people to do really strong business development. So what can I learn from you about your strengths? The next thing is, you know, what is that person learning right now? One of the advantages we have on the John Maxwell team is that Mark Cole, who is the CEO of all of John Maxwell companies, John has, I think, is it five companies perhaps?
Yeah. Yep.
Mark does a masterful job at mentoring us into what he's learning now from John and how he's applying that learn in his life and in his business. As a CEO, you know, I'm a CEO of my own company as well now today. And CEO to CEO, that is so meaningful to me because I want to learn, what are you learning that I need to learn? The next thing is, what do I need right now? You know, I'm those big picture thinkers. So it's easy for me to think, you know, 5, 10, 20 years into the future. I love doing that. But staying in the moment and staying focused on what that person is learning now and what do I need to learn right at this moment has really been important for me to do, for me to kind of slow down the game a little bit, stay in the moment, and find what is the next growth that I need to do and that my business needs to do in order to serve the world just a little bit better. Does that make sense to you, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. Great questions there. Yeah.
The next one, this is one of my favorites. Who do you know that I should know? So I was just in a meeting with a prospective who is now a new client yesterday, in a really big meeting.
Wow.
And we were talking, thank you, and we were talking a little bit about who they know, and they serve some of the largest global companies in the world. And my hope was to be able to serve this new client really well and have them open the door for me to some of their clients. And as we were talking yesterday afternoon, I said, well, who are some of your key accounts? And he started to rattle off brand names that all of us would recognize. And I thought, oh, yeah, these are people that I should definitely know. But you want to know something, Chris? 10 years ago, I would never have asked that question. I would never have even been comfortable, frankly, in having a meeting with someone of that caliber. I would have thought that, you know, I wasn't smart enough, sharp enough, pretty enough, tall enough, thin enough. Like, I wouldn't have had any of the qualifications to make that happen. But really understanding when we're in a new environment, we're meeting new people, and there are lessons that we can glean from each of them. And then the last question, this is a question I ask people frequently, and it often catches them a little bit off guard. I say to them, what have I not asked you that I should have asked? What's the questions that you were prepared to answer for me that I didn't even go there? Or what is something that you think I might have missed? Because even in a growth trajectory, each of us can only ask questions to the degree that our awareness is at. And when I ask someone who's much further down the road than I am, you know, what questions should I have asked you that I didn't? Their perspective sometimes changes my mindset almost instantly because they see maybe a bigger picture than I would have seen. And they would say, you know what, Deb, you never asked me about how I incorporate these new habits into my role day to day. Or, you know what, I'm surprised you didn't ask me about what some of the failures I've had and how I've overcome them. So asking something as simple as that, the way John lays that out in the book, to me, Chris, is just golden. Why don't you take us through those last two we've got on that list?
Yeah, the last two, the next one here is number five. So number one, we have assess your current environment. Number two is change yourself and your environment. Number three is change who you spend time with. Number four, as Deb talked about, was challenge yourself in your new environment. Number five is move forward despite criticism. Now, this one is tough, and I believe one of the toughest ones, because whenever you begin to venture into something new, and those around you that know you, all they know of you is where you have been. And oftentimes, they're going to give their first response based off of past experience. But past experience doesn't have any bearing on future results. And this new idea, this new thought, this new venture may first catch resistance because of old vision, old you, old thought. And so oftentimes we'll share that, well, you know what, Joe, I think it'd be a great idea if I did this business XYZ. And Joe says, well, how are you going to do that? Where are you going to get the money for that? Well, my cousin tried that before. That didn't really work out for them. You got to be careful. They might just be trying to take your money. You know, what do they know? And so you listen to that, you buy into it, and then, oh, you know what? You pass on to the next idea. Think about this. I mean, and I think most people experience this. You've had this thought or this idea, and then sometime down the road you have seen it, it came alive, and you're like, that's my idea. You know, that's my idea. I remember being 16 years old, and I had this idea. All right? The idea was, you know what? What if there was such thing as a wireless headphone?
Wow.
That was my idea.
They stole your idea.
They stole my idea, right? But I can remember going, this would be really good because the two people can listen. It could be, you can use an antenna off the TV. I remember being so excited about this. And, you know, what did my parents say? Well, you don't know anything about that. So, you know, what I say, yeah, you're right. You know, and I didn't know anything. And sure, I wasn't the first person on the planet to think of this, but sure enough, it was everybody online has this thought of some, you know, silly idea or something that you've seen come to life, and it was because you didn't take action on it. It's because you didn't take action on it. And so, you know, you want to make sure that you move forward despite of criticism, okay? Because if that dream, if that vision was given to you, I believe there's validity in it. I don't believe that we just get these feelings and these visions and these thoughts that are recurring over and over again just because it's an idea. I think oftentimes that recurring thought, that recurring feeling is really tied to our calling or purpose. You know, so if it's there and it's recurring and it won't go away, that just might be a key to your purpose on this planet. And so for me, one of those recurring things was speaking, encouraging, helping people, not knowing how. How do you get paid to encourage people? And who pays people for that? Lots of people. But I didn't know how, and I just pursued it. No one in my family has ever been a coach, speaker, or trainer, been paid to consult. Not a single person. Not a single person in my family has ever done that. But what did I do? I moved forward despite criticism. And what did my mom tell me, you know, time and time again? Both my parents, blue-collar workers, both worked for General Motors. What do you think they wanted me to do when I was being asked to leave college? What do you think their best thinking for me was? Well, you need to come to General Motors. You need to come work on the line, join the union, and, you know, make a good living. That was their way out. And I would constantly be drawn to a all-commission sales job. Why? Because I wanted the opportunity to work where I had the opportunity to be based upon what I produced, not being able to do the same work as everybody else and get paid the exact same, whether I did more or whether I did less. And my mom, I remember her calling me and crying time and time again, why won't you just do a regular job? just take a regular job. But what I kept moving forward despite criticism. And oftentimes that criticism comes from those closest to us, not those around, you know, not those outside of us. And then number six is focus on the moment. Focus on the moment. Oftentimes when we're taking a look at our environments and figuring out how can I change, how can I grow, you know, we often worry ourselves 5 years down the road. You know, what do we got to worry about today? We worry ourselves 5 years down the road. I mean, we will have an idea, we'll think it's good, then we start thinking about the pros, we spend a whole lot more time on the cons, and then we've taken that con, you know, all the way 25 years out. Right on down that road. Well, nope, I guess I won't do that. You know, but focus on now, and then always ask the question, what if this does work? So, and I love this, and Paul Martinelli, the president of John Maxwell Team, he taught me this and always shares this. He says this, he says, when we're thinking about an opportunity, it's not really, you know, will that opportunity work or will it not work? It's not about will it work or will it not work. He said, judge it based on this. If doing this, and if it does work, will this move me closer to my overall goal? Will this, not if it works effectively, not if it works, but if you take this next step and it works to any degree, will it take you a little bit closer to your overall goal, dream, or vision? And if the answer to that is yes, then there is no right or wrong in that next step. It's just the next step. Because what I know is that when you take that next step, it's going to reveal the next step. It's going to reveal the next door. And when you open up that door, there's going to be more doors. You're going to have to step through another door. And so it's just the next step. It's just the next step. So focus on the moment. Focus on the moment. So there's six choices to position yourself for growth. Number one is assessing your current environment. It's changing yourself and your environment. It's changing who you spend time with. It is moving forward despite criticism. It's choosing... to focus on the moment, you know. Yep. So those are the six. Those are the six choices.
You know, it's funny, Chris. One of the reasons I really love this chapter, you know, it talks about focusing on the moment, and what you said was so true, that it's so easy to get caught up in the future, and that future can sometimes feel overwhelming, but it also takes a large degree of faith to step out without seeing the entire plan. For those of us who are wired for details and process and kind of planning, it feels a little awkward to not have an entire plan. But I think it was Harvey Firestone Jr. who had this quote. It said, "Today is when everything that's going to happen from now on begins." And that was an important moment for me. You know, when I shared the story earlier on tonight, you know, around the age of 50, when I kind of started to think, you know, maybe I kind of want to be an entrepreneur. Don't tell anybody, but I kind of think I have this bug, you know. One of the things that was really important to me was I the person that I really felt I could become? And was my life everything I really dreamed it could be at that moment? And those two questions really spoke to me. So it gave me an incentive to change my environment, to do what you said, Chris, to kind of make those choices that change each of us. So I just love this chapter.
Well, here's what we have to understand, Deb, is that each of us do very, very well when we remember that our growth, my growth, your growth, our business growth, it will thrive in conducive surroundings. When we're in the right atmosphere, it just works. When you plant seed into the right soil, it grows into what it's supposed to grow into. You know, so for those of you on the line now, you know, it's really my question here. We've been here 4 weeks now. And, you know, my question for you is, what is your plan to immerse yourself in a conducive environment? I know for me, when I made the shift to join John Maxwell Team, I found myself in an environment where I grew, and so did my business. You know, so what that environment has meant to me is several different things. You know, being inside the John Maxwell team environment, the first thing that it gave me in order to grow, which everything that's growing needs, is support. You know, you think about it, when you get a brand new tree and you plant it in soil, and, you know, beside that little tree, what do? We place a stake next to it and tie it to it until we grow up enough and have enough support. And when I became part of John Maxwell's team, that faculty was, and my peers were, that support that I needed in order to grow into the tree I'm still becoming this day. But it was that early stake that I was tied to, the faculty, the online platform, those resources, that live event 2 times a year, that was the support I needed, that I was anchored to, tied to, in order for me to grow enough to be able to stand on my own. You know, so that's the first thing that the John Maxwell team gave me. But the second thing that the John Maxwell team gave me that was conducive to my growth was, I would say, is the right nutrients. What are the right nutrients? Well, I think of the right nutrients, it's my peers. I think of my peers inside of John Maxwell's team as nutrients, you see, because there's a lot of them, okay? And they were sprinkled all around me, Deb being one of those I would see 2 times a year without fail. And the encouragement that I would get from my peers that are moving in the direction that I wanted to go, and that was running alongside of me, those are the nutrients that I needed in order to grow. And then, you know, what else did I have from John Maxwell's team? It was watering. It was watering. You know, in order for anything to grow, it needs to be planted in the right soil. You need to have some nutrients of the right soil, but then it has to be watered in. And the watering came from the faculty of John Maxwell's team pouring into my life, encouraging me to do what I have never done in order for me to have what I never had. And it's just been tremendous because of that watering. It gave me the encouragement that I needed in order to go out and do. And when I went out and did, I began to speak on small stages. I began to speak in break rooms. I began to speak outdoors. I began to speak everywhere. But then what happened? I'd get this one breakthrough, and I'd speak to 100 people. I'd speak to 300 people. I'd speak to 400 people. I'd speak, you know, in an arena of several thousand. And then I would go back to these live events, and I'd be around those nutrients, my peers, and then they would open up doors for me. And I'd be able to speak in places that I couldn't speak on my own. I'd be able to speak for Fortune 500 companies like Pfizer, Cisco, General Motors, these big names, but I didn't open those doors. I didn't market them. Those doors were opened by peers of mine. This team, this John Maxwell team, if anything that we have talked about has resonated with you, this just may be the environment to help you reach your dreams, whether it's just for your own personal growth, in order for you to advance in your career and build, you know, your team that you're currently working with, it, or if it's for you to grow your company to the level that you want to be. This is going to get you access to people and material and content that's going to help you do that. And for some of you, you are on the line right now. You've been watching what's going on with John Maxwell's team. You know some people that are in the program. You know that you have a vision, a goal, a dream of speaking, coaching, training, transforming lives. And yet you're on the fence saying, is this for me? Is this for me? Tonight I want to ask you just one question. If you do join, would this move you in the direction of your goal if it works? And the answer is yes. And so I want to encourage you tonight. You know, we've been through 4 weeks. I want you to go to johnmaxwellteam.com. I want you to go to, if you have any ounce of curiosity, if you have any ounce of curiosity, I want you to go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. Get more information about the program, about the $1,000 scholarship. Let's get you to a live event. Let's get you to the online platform. Let's get you plugged into our online community. Let's get you plugged into our weekly calls so you can begin to hear the voices of support that you need inside of your life. But if you don't do anything, everything remains the same. Everything remains the same. You have to do something. Do something. As a matter of fact, I just did a teaching call for the mentorship program that we have called Do Something. As we're talking about, if you get a result, we can tweak a result. But if you're just sitting back and just waiting for the A to Z to figure out how you're going to get from here to your goal, dream, or vision, and you're waiting for the entire plan, you're going to be waiting for a long time, and you're going to die with that dream inside of you.
Yep.
So here's what I want you to do. johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws, and then we're getting ready to open up for Q&A. Tonight, we're going to stay on Q&A for, until it's over with, So actually, the queue is open. So if you go ahead and press star six, that'll put you in the queue. If you got questions about the content that we talked about, if you've got comments about what we've talked about, go ahead, press star six. That will place you in the queue. Let me make sure I reset the Q&A. All right. So go ahead, press star 6-1. That will place you in the queue. I would love to hear from you, something that you learned tonight, something over the past 4 weeks, and that will definitely answer any questions that we have for you. So let me make sure, Deb, I got you unmuted there.
Yep, Deb, I'm on with you, my friend. Yep.
Okay, yep. Cool. There we go. Let's go to our first call here. 765, there you go. Welcome to the call.
Well, good evening again. This is Justin Hughes in Indiana.
Hey, welcome, Justin. Great to have you on.
Yeah, thank you. So I got kind of a two points. One is just, thinking back earlier, Deb, you were talking about, deciding, is it time to change?
Yep.
You talked about, having a sense that it was time to change. And I can think of multiple times where it was certainly I had that same sense, but one of the questions I've been asking is it time to change, or is it time to lean in and push through this hard part?
Mm.
So oftentimes when we get into hard situations, it could be something that is, we're on the right path, but it's just the hard part that we have to get through, or part of the calling that, is not necessarily something we are ever going to enjoy. And we have to push through it. And then there's other times when, we're in the wrong situation. We know we're in the wrong situation, and we need to leave. So, how do you discern between the two of those?
Oh, that's such a great question, Justin. It's easy when you're in a situation that's negative, because then it's easy to say, it's almost like I have zero to lose, so I might as well make the change. But it's much more difficult. I found it really difficult because I was in an extremely successful corporate career. I had one of the greatest gigs on earth. And in fact, when I made the decision to leave and to start my own business, and I didn't have to leave to start my own business, I consciously made that choice. Most folks thought I was completely nuts, to be honest with you, because it just, from the outside looking at it, it didn't make sense. Why would you give up this great gig to start a business with very unpredictable results? But I have to share with you, here's what really resonated with me. John Maxwell talks about in his book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, the law of sacrifice, that says you have to give up to go up. And I kind of already knew that to some degree from the corporate career that I had, that as I was rising through different levels of leadership, there were things I had to give up. I had to give up autonomy. Maybe I had to give up a little bit of my pride. Maybe I had to give up a lot of my ego, And I realized that I had already given up so much, but there were some things in my life that were no longer negotiable, that I could give up some things and feel pretty good about it, but there were other things that if I gave them up, I would feel like I was compromising my own character and integrity. And that helped me to make the decision. I worked for a great company, an extremely inspiring boss in a lot of ways, a tough cookie from New York, but inspiring nonetheless. But I realized that there was something that it was almost like the same song kept playing over and over again in my mind's radio. And no matter what channel I put it on, it was the same silly song, you know? And Justin, I got to that point where I realized that if I didn't pursue it, it was going to be more painful than me pursuing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely to an extent. Especially since, you know, I'm in a role right now, which is not where all of the signs are leading me toward. Because everything looks in my life right now is pushing me towards a complete shift. I'm in IT right now, and where I'm looking is more somewhat aligned with, you know, John Maxwell in terms of its type. And so that's kind of a huge, you know, shift for me. And where I keep coming back to is that as good as I may be with IT, you know, the parts that really bring me alive about my job are not necessarily the parts that actually have to do anything with technology. It's always things that, you know, involve, you know, working with others, kind of helping them through issues, solving problems for them, but not necessarily working with the tech. And so each time I, you know, question whether or not to stay, because it's been a fantastic opportunity, this job, and it's been a huge opportunity for growth, but it's just not the industry, not the area where I think I'll get the most growth.
Well, you know, it's funny. When you were talking, Justin, what came to mind for me is one of the guys I met on the John Maxwell team, who's also a founding partner like Chris and I are, is this guy Michael Charles, also from New York. And Michael's background is in project management, mostly IT project management. And when we first met, and he was, you know, talking about making the change to be a coach, speaker, and trainer, and he was trying to find his niche, you know. One of the things Michael and I spoke about, I said, well, why don't you just start with who you know? And literally, he has built a business around serving up John Maxwell material, being a coach, speaker, and trainer in the PM, in the project management lane of the IT universe, because he speaks the language. He kind of understands, you know, what some of the challenges you folks in IT sort of bump into from time to time. You know, people who don't give you the entire scope of a project, or they change it midway, or they tell you that they checked something, but they really didn't check it. And because he knew the language and he started to serve that very community, that for him was sort of his, as our friend Chuck Bowen would say, his secret sauce, right? That was the thing that separated him from a lot of other folks out there, because he wasn't just talking the talk, he was walking the talk as well. He understood very well what they were going through. So what you might find, similar to so many of us, is that the very background that we have in our expertise and our competency prepared us extremely well to be able to serve that sector.
And I think that's huge, Dave, when I think about the IT world and I think about helping them on the people side, it's like a wide open market, because that desire that you have is so desired inside of that, and it's a gap that they have for the most part. I'm generalizing here, but there's a big gap there. It's been my experience there. I serve a lot in the IT department and of many different places, and there's a gap there. That's a phenomenal place for you to really focus on the people side of things. So,
you know, and if I could just share in one other thing, Chris, you just reminded me of this, is that in the work that I've done in the IT sector and some speaking I've done certainly in large IT organizations, that the content that resonates the most with them is actually everyone communicates through Connect that we're licensed to use through the team, because they are not necessarily wired for relationship. They're more wired for logic and processing and accomplishment and task orientation. And most of the challenges that people in IT bump into, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, has very little to do with the technology. It usually has to do with the users of the technology. Would that be true?
Yes, and the ability of the support technicians to communicate. One of the greatest boons I had was, you know, devouring multiple times how to win friends and people. It completely changed how I approached, you know, conversations in the IT world.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not because people don't care. It's just because they haven't, their awareness hasn't been raised to other methodologies or other strategies to be able to communicate and connect with people in a deeper way so that they can get to the heart of the issue and kind of cut out all of the other kind of extra superfluous, you know, complicating matters that happen around that communication.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's like with anything else, you know, one of the things I really, really love about this team is there doesn't need to be a choice. It could be a yes and. We have many folks who've joined the team, Justin, who have joined the team. They're still in their traditional job, and they're utilizing what they've been licensed to use to the John Maxwell team in their job today with the eye towards, my goal now is to serve my employer today, do a great job, add tremendous value to them, you know, having this other dimension to my professional career with them, and then with the hope to the future to be able to move into a new gig. And that's okay. You know, it's a yes and. It doesn't have to be an either or.
That's good to know.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, thanks for being on with us here. Thanks for the question.
Thanks for joining us tonight, Justin.
Yeah, right. Thank you for everything you've been sharing. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for being on. All right. Go ahead and press *6. You'll be next in queue. We've got plenty of time here. We're going to go the distance for you guys here. So if we go to the top of the hour, great. If we need to go beyond that, great. But press *6 if you are got a question about any of the content we talked about over the past 4 weeks. We got a comment, got questions about the program, press *6 to jump in the queue. There'll be more, or *61, we'll put you in the queue. We're more than happy to answer any questions that you have.
Yeah, and for those of you who are listening in, you know, when you think in terms of the environment that you're in right now, you know, one thing you may want to sort of, you know, get into the queue to talk about is, what's missing in your environment? Maybe there's a book or something else that Chris and I can recommend to you that might really help round out some of that gap for you. You know, we would just love to do what we can to add value to you and just to really support you in that way. Right, Chris?
Yep, you got it. Let's go to our next caller here, 757. Welcome to the call. 757 and 597. Maybe mute on your side.
Oh, I am.
There you go.
I'm Tina. How are you all doing tonight?
Doing great. Hi. Thanks for being on.
Thank you all for hosting this call. I don't have a question, but I just wanted to say thank you for hosting the call, because I started a few weeks ago a mastermind group, and it was only like 3 people. So, you know, after a certain few weeks, everybody kind of dropped off. And I'm going to be hosting my second mastermind group starting this Tuesday. And I just wanted to say thank you all for hosting this, because it allowed me to see how it's done. And I really like how you all flow. Like, you just flow. Even when you're talking about material from the book, I was like, oh, my God. So I can just flow with material like that as well. So you all just
oh, I love it.
Nonsense. you know, you just flow. So I really appreciate the example, and I'm going to incorporate that with my new mastermind that's starting in on next Tuesday.
That's beautiful. Okay. Which book are you going to be using for your mastermind group?
Well, the 21 Laws again, because this is the free one. I'm going to be doing the 21 Laws, and then I think after that I'm going to start charging, but I wanted to just kind of get my feet wet again.
That's beautiful. Well, congratulations. And you want to know something? You said you have three people that showed up here for your first one?
Yes.
That was two more people than I had.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. That's awesome. By week three, I was talking to myself on the line, but I kept doing it.
There you go.
Good for That's you. I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations. Terrific.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us.
Let's get our next caller here. Looks like a 404 area code. Welcome to the call.
Hi. My name is Tiffany. And I actually just submitted my resignation today at my job, and it's in order to work on a business that my husband and I have been working on or wanting to launch within the past couple of years. And I just wanted to know if you guys could speak on your experience on if you've ever pretty much left a job and just had the emotions of, you know, what's next and like the different stages and what to kind of expect going forward. Because right now it's in the scary phase because it just happened.
Right. It's pure terror.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You hit the terror barrier in a big way.
Right.
Yeah. So just wanted to see if you guys could speak on that based on your own experiences.
Hey, Chris, can I jump in first on that?
Yeah, sure can.
Because, Tiffany, here's what I have to share with you. I remember this. This is one of those moments that are burned into my memory. I remember when I hit the send button on the email with my resignation letter, and I was getting ready to go into the CEO to talk to him about it. And I hit send, like, boom, hit the button. And all of a sudden, I had resignation regret, the double R's, that I thought, what am I doing? This is so stupid. This is crazy. No one in their right mind would do this. I remember like that little gremlin in my head that was telling me all the reasons why what I just did was the most ridiculous, unbelievably stupid idea that I've ever had in my entire life. Like, all right, and Gino, you've done a lot of dumb things before. You've just hit a new high, you know? And I remember thinking, am I feeling that because it was the wrong decision? I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe my mind is trying to tell me that it's trying to protect me, that this is just not smart. It's not the right path. I'm not good enough to do this. But here's what I realized. And this is something, frankly, John's book has really taught me a lot, is that when we talked about it a little bit last week in the law of the rubber band, every time we're stretching to do something completely different, we have stretched into an area that we have not stretched into before, like resigning from our job, that it is always 100% of the time going to feel awkward, not because it's wrong, but because it's new.
Mm-hmm.
It's new territory. It's a new environment. It's like going from sea level, if you've ever been up in the mountains. You know, I've been up at 10, 12,000 feet. It's a little hard to breathe up there. The air is a little different, and you have to adjust to it. And in that adjusting period, it feels like you're going to run out of breath. And I liken that to that success stretch in the law of the rubber band, that when you make a gutsy decision like that, you've bet on you and your husband. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but what it does mean is that you've done everything you can do, Tiffany, to set yourself up to focus and do a deep dive into what you've committed to. So I just want to encourage you in that really terrible feeling that you're probably feeling in the pit of your stomach that I felt for months. It'll go away. You just have to work through it. Chris, what would you add?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, I've been exactly where you've been at. But I'll tell you, I was in this sheer fear what had happened to me. Well, the circumstances were was, you know, I had just started a company that was about a week old. They came to me and said, well, hey, you can, you know, go do your company thing or, you know, keep your job here. And at that time, it was a high six-figure income job. And I had triplets on the way. And, you know, so it was, but they were saying, hey, look, we don't like this. We don't like what you're doing. All right, you need to go. Or you could stay. You just got to let go of that business that you started there. And so I decided I was going to keep the business. And then I had to call my wife, and I mean, I was petrified. Said, hey, I just told them I'm going to keep this business, and that income's gone. You know, but she says, I trust you. So, you know, next thing, you know, it's like, so that was the most important thing. It's like the support of my spouse. That's where it's at, you know. Call my mom. What did mom say? Oh, no, you need to call them back.
Did she really, Chris?
She did. She said,
oh, my goodness, that's precious.
You got a sales job that's finally working for you. What'd she say? You need to call them back.
Oh, that is funny. Yeah.
You know, and so, but here's what I can tell you. You know, it's going to be scary, but here's the thing. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And look, the steps that you've made, everything that's led up into this point in time, that this was going to happen, and this was going to be the end result, whether it was now or 5 years from now, 10 years from now, this time is coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you're stepping into it and you're experiencing now. So now is great. There's great freedom in this, in the aspect of now you get to choose how to work on you. You get to choose on and be a little bit more selective in what you're going to trade your life for next.
Yeah.
Because that's what's getting ready to happen is you're getting ready to say, okay, I'm getting ready to trade my life for this next thing I'm getting ready to do. Is that going to be worthwhile? And so I just say be selective now, be still now, but be confident in everything's going to be all right.
And can I just add just one other thing, Chris? First of all, I'm still shocked about your mom. I love that. Because that was my mom, I was the vice president of global brand operations for a $550 million company. My mom thought I was a secretary. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a secretary, but I was flying around the world doing startups, and she kept thinking, wow, boy, they fly secretaries around the world to do that kind of work. And then when I started my business, she thought I was going to do, like, secretarial work at home. And I don't think she still gets it, and it's fine. I love her. She's 82. I understand. But I love that story about your mom. Tiffany, the one thing I would just also add in is don't judge tomorrow's outcomes by today's feelings.
That's good.
Because today you feel a little shaky. Today you feel like you're questioning the decision, and that's a very normal feeling. But that is not a reflection of tomorrow's outcomes. That's just a gut check on where you are today. It's kind of like when you take your pulse, you go to the doctor for a checkup, they take your pulse or your blood pressure. That's just a reading for that moment. That's not a predictive of what's going to happen tomorrow or the day after that or the day after that. So I just want to encourage you, Tiffany. Congratulations.
Thank you. If you guys don't mind, I want to add a part B to that. Essentially, like, I know you had mentioned earlier the rejection part of or the criticism. How did you all deal with that? I just went to a social event tonight, and I'm just, like, thinking, you know, the first question that people ask is, what do you do? And if you say something like, you don't work, it's kind of like, and I guess it depends on how you phrase it, it's kind of like, how do you deal with that rejection, and what were some of your responses that kind of,
Well, it's not rejection. There's no rejection. You weren't rejected tonight. You just didn't have a response right now because you're in between, you know, and be okay with that because you're not the first person on the planet to be in between jobs. And, you know, they just got a job. And you worried about what they're thinking about you being in between. So I would say don't even worry about that. You know, you could talk about where you're going, the direction that you want to go, and what you're looking for. Be specific and confident in that. You know, currently right now, what I'm looking for is and see what doors open up that way. So give people the direction that you want to go versus trying to defend or being bashful about where you're at.
Gotcha. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you got it. All right. Let me check this queue here, and let's see if we got anyone there. Press star 6 to jump in the queue. If you got questions, we're going to stay on. And looks like that was it. That was it. Tiffany was our last caller there. So we'll do a countdown then. And, again, remember, if you want to find out more information about John Maxwell Team, go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. All right. Well, we'll do a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Well, Deb, I want to thank you so much for being on with me these past couple weeks. It's been great working with you over these last two mastermind groups, and I look forward to working with you in the future. And thank you so much for being with me. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines so that everyone can say goodbye.
Thank you so
goodbye.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
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 Thank you all.